Would you turn with me in the book of Ephesians? I took a week off from this, but I brought it back for 1 week. Do not let Satan get a foothold. And this is the last one I'm doing on this. Ephesians chapter 4, and I've added a little bit more scripture here. Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning at verse 20. Rather than at 25. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning here at verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. And do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Do not let Satan get a foothold. Now, as this scripture is pointed out, it's pointed out to new Christians, not those who have been Christians for decades. These are new Christians who have newly walked in the faith, who are days and weeks and months, and maybe just a year as a Christian. And so they have easily retreated back to their old way of living, or old style of living. And the instruction here, the admonition here, is to change. So we know clearly that this is an admonition for change. Now, I know as people, we don't like to be admonished, do we? We don't. It brings up our defense mechanisms, doesn't it? When we get admonished. But here, it's done so in a way to build one up in following Christ Jesus. And so whenever we admonish one another, and careful how we do it, make sure we do so in loving and grace-filled and caring ways, and not in hurtful or seeking to harm another individual, but do so in loving, caring, and grace-filled ways that seek to connect us in and as our relationship with God. So these are new Christians. And so as they are being taught They're being told, in a way, put off your old ways of living and show yourselves to be as children of God. That's who you are. And that's how you should live as children of God. So don't let Satan get a foothold. We let Satan get a foothold in our lives when we seek to live as the world lives and not as God wants us to live. Now, I've spoken about the emphasis on procrastination here. The emphasis being that procrastination is not mentioned, but that it is implied that to be imitators of God doesn't mean that's tomorrow or next week or next year. It means it's implied to do so today. Don't wait. Don't wait and walk in following Jesus. Don't wait in seeking to learn and grow in faith. Or to be a false witness. We lose our witness when we are telling stories about others, right? Telling lies. Don't let our anger go to the point. And keep in mind, Jesus got angry, right? It was a righteous anger. But don't let our anger go over into a destructive behavior. And we know that as Satan seeks to deceive us, he doesn't do so in grandiose ways usually. It's through small, subtle things that tell us, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead. Act that way. And the trap then just slowly convinces us of there is no sin. But we know that sin means separation from God. And one way that we separate ourselves from God is unwholesome talk coming out of our mouths. Any of you know what foot-mouth disease is? Now, I'm not talking about hand, foot, and mouth disease. I'm talking about foot in your mouth kind of disease. Do you know, have you ever done that? Have you ever said something to somebody and you just immediately went, why did I say that? Or why did I do that? That's putting your foot in your mouth. Sometimes we put our foot in our mouths when we needed to speak up. When we needed to stand up for somebody who was being harassed or bullied or spoken ill about. And we needed to say, hey, let's not go there. At other times we've done this, we put our foot in our mouth and we've said things that we shouldn't say. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. This is an admonition, isn't it? To you and me. To everyone. This is speaking directly to you as Christians. This isn't speaking to the world. I mean, yes, for the world, you've got to have a relationship with Christ to want to follow Him. This is an admonition, you see, to those who are followers of Jesus. You know who Jerry Seinfeld is, the comedian, had his own show for a number of years. And Jeff Allen, he's a longtime comedian as well. I don't think he had his own show, but he's a very popular comedian, as a number of others are too as well. But one of these persons, and I think both of them, they don't use cuss words in their comedy. And they say, All these comedians that use cuss words and throw out these F-bombs and these phrasings and all of this kind of stuff they do so for cheap laughter. Real comedy doesn't need those things. It's just the punchline that works. That's real comedy. That's real effort. Rather than just throwing out bad language all the time. I kind of quit watching much of late night TV because the language, it's not necessarily that it's cuss words, but it's always about putting down somebody, and it doesn't have to be a punchline. It can just be just making fun of a politician or making fun of somebody, and it doesn't even have to make sense or be funny. It's actually hateful and hurtful. And then they laugh like you were supposed to laugh. So let our conversations be intelligent, thought-provoking, spiritually mature, patient conversation. And not to curse others, but instead find ways to encourage and strengthen to walk in the faith. Now I'm going to say this. When Paul is speaking here through the scriptures for us in this writing to the Ephesians, and he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. He wasn't primarily talking about cussing. That's just the tip of the iceberg. He's talking about something totally different. Unwholesome talk in the middle of a people that most of the people around them are not Christians. They're not trying to live for Christ, not dealing business-wide for as a Christian, not dealing in so many other areas as a Christian. He's talking about don't let your conversations be to tear people down, you see, and talk bad about other people. Or in a sense of being in judgment over. There's a difference between, when Scripture says, do not judge lest you be judged. It's not saying take away your discernment. But it's saying judgment, condemnation is of God alone. So, our unwholesome talk is about the way we view people as well. It could be gossip. It could be to get revenge on somebody. It could be to, just to speak bad of someone in public and so on and so forth. But Paul is encouraging that if you are a child of God, then let your mouth show forth and put away unwholesome talk. We're all guilty of it. We're all guilty, including this pastor. We're all guilty. But God is telling us through Paul in this letter to the Ephesians, the scripture to us to teach us, to admonish us, that we need to correct our speaking. I believe it was Dave Pelzer is the name. He wrote a book, and the title of it is this: A Child Called It. Any of you read that book before? Yeah. A Child Called It. He had a name. And he had other siblings in the house. But his mother and father just called him It. It. It lived in a basement on a cot because he was not allowed his own room in the house. It got fed like a dog whenever they determined to put a plate of some whatever would be called food on the ground. It was not involved in family table discussions. It was not included to celebrate birthdays. It was not in their minds and hearts as of parents and family that it was a child and had a name and was called Dave. At the time, this was considered one of the worst cases of child abuse in California. It's horrific to think that that stuff even occurs one time. But they chose words to define who this person was. It. No less are our words when we speak of other people. God is calling you and me to choose carefully our words, to choose them to be encouragers in the faith rather than those who will not feel worthy of being called a child of God. There's people who do very unworthy things in this world, who do horrific things and commit horrific crimes and bully people in very gross ways. And they should be admonished for doing so, and they should be punished for doing so. But I also remember that it was Jesus who hung on the cross, who expects to call us by name when we enter into the kingdom of heaven, and who called Mary by her name when she entered into the kingdom of heaven. He has done so for while we were yet sinners, we shall be saved. It is He who did not condemn us from the cross and say, you are unworthy. You are an it. You only deserve destruction. No, it is quite the opposite. And therefore, our words too need to be imitators of God as dearly loved children. How else will people trust our words and trust our conviction in following Jesus if we are so quick to respond rather than condition ourselves to reflect the image and likeness of God and what God would have us to say and do and live? Came across something on one of the, that you made me join here recently? Instagram. I got Cole to laugh with that. Instagram. And, you watch all these videos, they're good and bad, you know. I'm slow to change sometimes. Anyways, there was on this video of a woman sharing to her class, and half the class she gave easy answers, questions, and the other half she gave a difficult question to begin with. Said, answer it. And when you're done on it, was raise your hand. And so half the class raised their hand because it was real simple and easy, and they raised their hand. They got it right. The other half was like, I don't know what this is. I don't know how to answer this. And those are some bright kids. And they just could never come up with it, to the point where she just said, all right, well, enough time has passed. Let's just move on to the next question. You know, I don't know how you didn't get it, you know, but we're going to move on to the next question. Moving on to the next question. Same thing. Other half, same half, got it right. Got it quick. I mean, it was almost like immediate answer. And the others are like, oh, I don't know if I can do this or not. And she finally just said, all right, y'all aren't going to get it, I see. So it seems like it's real simple for the rest of the class, but y'all haven't gotten this. So let's go on to the next question. Next question was the exact same question. Before, it was different for different parts of the group. But this last one was the same question. Easy answer. Half the class went real quick. They answered it. The other half were like, they had already been conditioned in just three questions. Bright students as well. That they were not capable of answering correctly. Our words matter, folks. The way we treat others matters. And so, how does God want you to treat other people? Treat one another. Our words matter. Build one another up. Encourage one another. I'm not saying excuse sin. We all need admonition, right? Some of us need to be in the Bible a little bit more and see what the Bible says about certain things so that we are admonished by God to change our lives. I don't care what it is. Some of us need to hear from another Christian who's a good friend of us to say, I don't think what you're doing is helping yourself and your walk with God. Now, I'm not saying I want you all to go out and find somebody to admonish today. Please pray about that before you do that, because it needs to be done in loving and grace-filled and merciful ways. Not like a Karen would do. Y'all know what I mean by saying Karen. Who just wants to feel good about themselves, telling somebody else where they were wrong. We don't need that, do we? God doesn't need that for us. The church doesn't need that. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who do what? Who listen. So there's another key component there. They must listen, but they're not going to listen if our talk and our conversation is about tearing people down. That's why we listen to Jesus, because he doesn't tear us down. He shows us love, mercy, and grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your blessings in our lives. Forgive us of our many sins where we have not said what we ought, and where we have been quiet where we should have spoken up. But let our conversations be to build one another up in faith. And we thank you for the admonition that you bring to us today through the Holy Scriptures. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.